Yeah, I think I'll just start then. We lost like half of the class, looks like. So today is the last lecture of like this beginning selecting from SQL stuff. Next week we'll start with a new topic, and tomorrow I'll just do like a bunch of exercises of revision and stuff. So yeah, before we start, any like questions about the stuff that's behind? Any questions about the assignment? I think you have to deliver part two like in 5 days or something. Yeah. No questions? Cool. I'll just start. Like today we're going to talk about set operations, which is basically like putting the results of multiple queries like together. We're going to talk about actually changing the data that is in the database, so inserting new data, updating it, and deleting it. And we'll, and this is something that I added last minute because it was missing from all the slides, it looked like, which is limiting the amount of results you get. So I'll just jump straight into that. So every time you're selecting stuff, you're restricting. You can like restrict what results you get based on a certain number of conditions, but until now we've never seen like how can you specify, get me like a specific number of results, right? And this is something that you'll see basically like in every search function website thing where you get like a number of pages and then you have like a specific set of results in every page. This is how it's done. So we can specify this limit keyword here. They'll say, get me 25 results from this query. Then it can also pass like an offset, which is the first record or the first record plus or minus one. Yeah, the first record minus one. So it give me this number of results starting from position X. And that's how you get, say, for example, when you're searching on Google. When you're searching here, for example, when you have like all the results from a table, you can change here the number of rows, 25, 50, whatever, and then you can switch between the pages, right? And the way this is done, like behind the scenes, is through like a limit offset argument that gives you like, okay, give me the first 25 results. And then when you pass to page two, it's like, give me from 26 to 50, and yeah, all that stuff. So we can, so sometimes when you do this, and then you go and edit the query as well, you might see that, not this one, maybe edit in line. You can see that PHP admin adds that condition specifically to your does it? I do like 25 and then page 3, page 4. No. Yeah, the if we do like select everything from employees and then you do like limit and give me 5 results, you only get 5 rows starting from the beginning, so 100, 101, 102 to 104. And if you do like offset 2, for example, then it will ignore 100 and 101, and it will start from 102 going forward and give you 5 results. This is also useful. Say, for example, this is another way of getting like a max of a table. So you can do like select everything from employees. And then we can order by salary. And then that's the lowest salary. And then if we do like limit 1, you get the person with the lowest salary. So if you want like the second lowest salary, then you can do like offset 1, and then you get the second lowest salary. This is an easier way than to doing like group buys and using the aggregate function. So yeah. That's the first thing. Did you understand how this worked? Yeah? Cool. So now we can go to set operations. Let's get a bunch of slides to here. So what a union operator does is basically you have 2 queries. Each of the queries like returns their own results, right? But then we only want them in 1 table. So the union operator will join the results of both of those queries and put them into like a single result. So here, for example, if we're selecting employees and jobs from employees and job history, we can get a list of all of the employees and job IDs for both of those tables in 1 single result. So yeah, what this does is display the current and previous job details of all employees. So what the union operator will basically execute both queries, you get 2 sets of results, and then put them together in the same table at the end. This will also remove all duplicates. So an example of this is, say for example, we can use the same query. Where do you like select employee IDs from employees? This will get us like all the employees' IDs. Can actually do like, yeah, where employee ID equals 100. So this will only return like 100, right? But then if we do like union and then we copy this and put like 101, then you get both 100 and 101. I'll give you yeah, the uses aren't like super super explicit from the, like the examples are in the slides, but I'll give you some exercises where this makes a bit more sense. So if you're doing union, if we have like employee ID in 100 and 101, this will remove the duplicates that are the results from like each of the queries. So if there are duplicate rows in each of the queries, like those are going to be removed. If we want the results of all of both queries, everything to be in the result, then we can use union all, and then we get both the duplicates and non-duplicate values. So we also have the intersects operator. So this will take so in the from a visual perspective, this is what it's going to do. So query A is going to give you like a set of results, right? Query B is going to give you another set of results, and then what intersects does is returns you all of the rows that are common between them. So I can actually just do like select 100. So if we have a employees where employee ID is in like 100, 101, 102, and then intersect select everything from employee where 102, 103, 104. Yeah. You can ignore this. So the first query is going to return employee that has the ID of 100, 101, and 102. And then the second one is 102, 103, 104. Have any of you like done the set operators and stuff like that before? Like any like logic behind that? Or yeah, you have. Yeah, like I had like all those classes in my first years in school, and I fucking hated them. Cause like, well, what is the point of this? But then when I actually like started using them in like databases and stuff, I was like, okay, yeah, this might be useful. But yeah, what? So then you can answer, or like, what's the output of this? Oh. Mm-hmm. So you have the first query that will return employees with IDs of 100, 101, 102, and then the other one is... Yeah. So which one was... I'll tell you. Yeah, so it's going to be like 102, right? Because here we have 102 in both of the result sets. Then since we're doing intersect, so it's going to be 102. Same if we have like 100 here, then 100 is going to be in both of the results sets of the queries. So then we're going to have 100 and 102. Well, if we have like union, it'll be like everything, right? So from 100 to 104, and if it was union all, it would be all those plus the duplicates. Yeah. And then last set operator is the except. So by using except, we'll take everything that is in the first query, except everything that is returned in the second query that matches what is in the first one. So if we're going by this, we're doing like, we have 100, 101, 102. Here we have 102, 103, 104, and 100. So this one is found here, so it shouldn't be returned. This one can't be found. 102 can also be found here, so the only result is going to be 101. Does that make sense? Yeah, pretty much. Does that make some sense? Visually, it's this. So if A is all the results, and B are all the results from the first query, and B are all the results from the second query, you take all the results from the first query that are not in B, right? Oh yeah, shit, I forgot about that. Should have said that in the beginning of the class. It's been a lot of stuff lately. Let me just connect to you. So this weekend I've done some overtime and did some more stuff. So there's now in Blackboard SQL street sheet with all the stuff that you need to know from like this select phase. So if you go here, so in lectures, and then in week 37 we have all of the exercises from the lectures up until now, so like the solutions for all of them, and then we have the cheat sheet that has like all of the like thingies you need to know. Basically, I'm not gonna make you like remember all this shit. I don't remember half of it, so like it's unfair. It should be, yeah. Like this is basically just all the stuff that you like. This isn't law. I can't guarantee, but it probably will be available. But just don't hold me accountable with the recordings. I have no idea how the exam is going to be or anything. So we'll see. We'll see closer to the date. You will have like some sort of way of checking all of these like stuff that you have to memorize or that you would have to memorize, because like just today when I was like doing some exercises that we were going to do tomorrow, I had to like go and check here to see how stuff was done, because I can't remember this stuff. It's too much stuff I have to remember already. But also like that should be like most of the stuff that you need to know, but don't like come and complain afterwards of like the stuff in the exam that wasn't in the cheat sheet. I'll try to like not like have stuff that, or I tried to put all the stuff that was needed in the cheat sheet, but you never really know in the future what the future holds. So, we can say if it's in the book, then it might come in the exam, or if it's in the slides, it might come in the exam. Just so I can cover all bases, and I don't
get any complaints.
Yeah, does anyone like read the book, by the way? Or? Yeah? No? No? Is it like mandatory, is it a mandatory book or something? Or I don't remember. For when I was in school, everything that was like, oh, this is the mandatory book and these are optionals. And I was like, okay, all optionals. Then. And then never read any. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Until you go and read the book and you see all the stuff that I didn't teach you. And then you're going to be like, oh, fuck. He's actually not that good. But yeah, okay. Or maybe like just the assignments are too easy or something if you like don't feel the necessity to like go and search for other stuff. But it's also like with all this computer stuff, you can just search online instead of paying however much a book is these days, which is probably not that cheap. So, but yeah, continuing the presentation, didn't like the set stuff make sense or not really? Like, I would expect you to, like, know this stuff already, which is, like, yeah. But we'll do some exercise, and then hopefully it'll, like, be a bit more, make a bit more sense later. Let's see. Back to the slides. Yeah, so... Here's a bunch of like guidelines of how these set operators work. So if you're going to join results of stuff using set operators, they need to both match in the number of columns that the result sets have and the same data type, right? You can't just join like whatever the fuck. It needs to be like the same. Then you can use parentheses to alter the sequence of execution of stuff. You can order by, but the order by should be at the end. Yeah. Yeah. Because this is like in SQL like world, right? In real life that doesn't really apply, but here it does, because what this basically does is go back to this. What this basically does is it executes the first query, right? And it's going to return something like a list of employees, right? Or a list of IDs or whatever. And then that array of data is going to be compared with the array of data that comes from the second query, right? And if those, like, if the data that is stored in each of the like locations of the array don't match, then it's, you know, you can't really compare them, right? So you can say, for example, like, you do this. And it doesn't work if you do, like, union. The content of what's returned from each of them. Yeah. Not the number of elements. It's the number of columns and the type of those columns, right? And then, yeah, duplicate rows are eliminated except for uninall. And only the columns from the first query appear in the results. They're going to be the same, but and then the output is sorted in ascending order by default. Matching the slide statements. So you see here in this query that we're selecting department ID, which matches department ID from the second query. And then we're selecting, here we're selecting null, or casting null as in signed, whatever. And then selecting location ID from the second, and then casting this to a null or date. Because what is happening here is, I'll show you. So let's select everything from departments. So here we have a department ID and a location ID, and yeah, that's it. But say if we want to join this with the employees table and get all the departments plus their location plus the hire dates of the employees that are a part of that department. So from the first query, it'd be like department ID and location ID. So then we have like all the departments and all the locations, and then we also want all the departments and all the hire dates of employees for some reason. Yeah. You run that, and what you get is location ID and what else? Yeah. So the hire that comes into gets casted automatically from date to number, which is what location ID is, and then all those values end up in the same column, which is not what we want, because then how do you like tell apart like what is a location ID, what is a hire date? So then we would need like another column here. So we would have in the final result, we would have a department ID and location ID and a hire date column. So the cast function that we saw like a couple, like last week or something, can do like null as unsigned integer, and this will mean this means that for every row from this result, since there is no location ID that can be displayed, then just put it all into, like, make it all null, right? And then here we can do, we have to match the same type, so hire date is a date, right? So we can do cast null as date, and then call that column hire date. And this assures that like the first column matches, the second column then matches in matches in type as well, because we have null or we have integer and null, and then we have the hire date that here is null and here is date or null. So now all the columns match their types and we have the same number of columns. So then when we do this, then we get all the department IDs and their locations, and then we go to the next page. And then from the result set from the employees table, we get all the department IDs and the hire dates of the employees. Yeah, some practice exercises now. I think I'll just start. It's on slide 21. I'll just do the first couple of ones and then you can do the other two, I guess. So list the department IDs for departments that do not contain the job ID ST clerk using set operators. This is the so for get all the departments that there's no one with this job, right? Basically, using set operators. So, select department IDs. So department ID from departments. So then you, using this query, can get all the department IDs, and then you can do except, and then select all of the department IDs from, or first then we have to find the other, it's better to do it this way. So then to find all of the department IDs of people that have the ST clerk job ID. So from the employees table, we can do so select all the department IDs from employees where was it job ID? Job ID equals ST clerk. So these are all of the department IDs for that has like employees with this type of job. So then we can just do an except. So take all the department IDs and then accept all the ones that have an employee with ST clerk as a job ID. So then that's like all of the department IDs except for 50, I think. That makes sense. Ish. The hard part of like these exercises is trying to like find where the data is. So you kind of just need to like understand like what all the stuff is in the database, and then just trying to like interpret what is being asked and trying to like figure out what the hell you need to do. So it's all about interpretation. So the second exercise is display the country ID and the name of countries that have no departments located in them using the set operators. So I'll just copy this here. Display the country ID and the name of the country. So just by that, it's like, okay, then I need to display the country ID and the name of the country. That's what the columns are, and then have no departments located in them. So then it's like we need all the countries except for the countries that have departments in them, except for So it's good to like try and take whatever is asked and try and convert it into a way that you kind of can make it into like a set operator, right? So just first try to like interpret what is being asked, and then just try to, when you have like a construct like this, then you can try and create a query that does this. So we can select, these are all the countries, and then we have to go and check where can we find like any relationship between departments and countries. So if we go to the departments table, we can see that they have a location, and then the location has a country ID. So then we need to find, first get all the departments, right? And then from the departments, get all the locations from all the departments. And then from all the locations, get all the countries. And those are like the countries where departments exist, right? Does that make sense? So all the countries is basically like everything from countries, right? And then it asks you, give me all the stuff that a department does not belong to that country. So then we need to check all the departments. Departments. And then get all the locations from those departments. And then get all the countries. And then these are the countries that where departments are in, right? And then just exclude them from the results. So let's see. If we select from departments, join locations on department location ID equals locations. Location ID, and then we also need to join countries on locations. Country ID equals countries. Country ID, right? Then we get all the departments, plus all the information about all the locations, plus all the information about all the countries. In the same table. And then from there, we can get all the country ID. And the country name. What is wrong? Country ID is ambiguous. So you could just do like countries. Countries. Yeah. This gives us a bunch of duplicates, but it doesn't really matter. So then we can. I'll just do it here. So these are all the countries where departments belong to, right? And then we are selecting all countries from countries, and then accept all the countries that belong to me or that have departments in them. So then we have all of these, and excluded are like the United States, Canada, and some other shit, I guess. Yeah, so that's exercise two. And then list the employee IDs and job IDs of these employees who currently hold the job title that they held before beginning their tenure with the company. Shitty description. I'll try and translate this and then see if we can like solve it. So list the employee IDs. So employee IDs and job IDs is what you need in the end, right? And then you have the employees who hold a job title that they held before. So this is using like the jobs history table, which has the employees and whatever they did before. So it's basically get me all the employees that have a, like that their current job is the same that his something that has been in the job history, in their job history. So get me all the employees, and then employees jobs, and then trying to find a way to say intersects without like saying the answer, but I kind of just have to use it. So intersects all the employee jobs from the jobs history table. Not that good of a description of an exercise, but this is basically what it wants. Does that make sense? Like what needs to be done? So it's get all the employees that have both like their current job and their job and job hit in the job history table are the same. I'll just give you the answer so I don't lose any more students for next week. So it's this. So we're selecting employees from the employees table and then selecting all the employees and job IDs from job history, and it's the stuff that is common between these two queries, right? So it's these two. And then the last write the compound query that lists the following last names, department IDs of all employees, and then department IDs and the name of all departments from the departments table, regardless of whether or not they have employees working in it. So this just asks for data that doesn't really like that isn't really the same, right? So it asks for the last name, the department ID from employees, and then it asks for all the department IDs and their names. So selecting the last name from employees, their department, and then null for the third column, just so we can match the number of columns in the second query. And then we have null in the first one because there's no like last name information in departments, department ID, and the department name. So you end up with something like this. So yeah, that's it. Break. 1:20. So until now, all the stuff that we've done is like inconsequential, right? Like you can't really like fuck anything up. You're just like selecting data and seeing it in different ways, but it has like no effect on the database. Like whatever the data that is in the database was there before is going to be there after you do like a select statement. It doesn't matter. So you're just reading data. But now we'll do stuff that actually affects what the data that is stored in the database is, and changing the data that is in the database. So there's three statements or three ways of doing this. You can insert new data, so you just take whatever data you want and you create a new row in the database. From that, we can update data that is already in the database, so just like changing a value into something else. And then we can delete data. So for all this, you can actually fuck up your database. So this actually has like consequences to what you're doing. And so you usually need to be careful when doing it because there's no like undo button. You can't just like, oh, I messed up. Let me like not, or let me just like revert to what I did. There's no way, and there's no like easy way of doing it. You can like have backups and that you can like revert to and all that stuff, but usually when you're about to like mess up, like a lot of times you don't know that you're messing up until you've done it, and then it's like, oh, well, the last backup was like a week ago. Oops. So it kind of depends. Like in a professional setting, you kind of don't mess around too much with what is in the database, like directly. You don't just go into like PHP admin and like, oh, I'm gonna change like some data here or whatever. And when you have to do it, like you usually create a backup, like before you do it, so in case anything goes wrong, it's like, okay, I'm just gonna revert to what I did, to what was there before. So, yeah. Adding a new row is as simple as like you're inserting into the table that you want. The values and then all the values that you want to insert. So the first or these you can specify what columns your those values refer to. So like first column is going or first value is going to be inserted into the first column if you're specifying them. Second value, second column, blah blah blah. If you omit this, so if you just do insert into table values, then it'll just take all the columns that are defined in the table. So if you can see the structure of a table if you click here and then go columns. So if you're like inserting into countries, and then the whatever is inside of the values parentheses thing needs to match like these names or needs to match these types, and it has to be like in this order. So the first value is going to be for country ID, second value for name, third value for region. So if we want to So here, let me see. In columns, default. No, okay. So a few inserts that we can do is insert into countries, and then if we just do like values, and then we do like country code PT, and then country name would be Portugal, and then region ID would be, I don't know which one. We can do like one. This is going to execute. You can see that one row was inserted, and then if you go to the countries table again, you'll see that Portugal is here now. But that's because like all the values matched like all the columns and their specific data types. If they don't, so say for example if you're doing like insert into countries and then you do like values and 1, 2, 3. This actually worked. So it took the values and then casted them into strings and then made them correct. But if you do insert values, insert into countries and then values and then just a bunch of nulls. Then it'll complain because we have constraints that like the country ID can't be null and the region ID can also not be null. So if you try to insert something that doesn't, that isn't valid, like the database won't allow you to. So say, I'm just gonna copy this. So as you said, if we do like, we can do a country name and then country ID, then it's already like in the wrong order. And then region ID. So we'll do like, so it shows up at the top. Or this won't, you actually won't see the difference then. So yeah, country name is 11111. Cannot add or update a child. Yeah, so here we try to insert a row that has a region ID of 111. There's no region that matches that ID because this is a foreign key, and every value that you insert into a field that is a foreign key needs to match something else that exists in another table. So that region needs to exist. It doesn't. So then we need to change it. Here it's the third value that it matches region ID. So if we change it to 1, and then we change these two. Countries. Then you see that the country ID, which was in the second position, corresponds to 11, which was in the second position, and then we basically changed the orders of like how stuff was inserted. If you can, you don't need to specify all the columns as well in when you're doing an insert. So the country name can be null. We saw that in the columns description. So if we do, if we want to like not specify that it's null, like specifically, we can do like country ID and region ID. And then we can do like New Zealand and like 2. And then that gets inserted and the country name just gets auto-filled with null because that's what the default value is for that column. So yeah, so you can see here we're inserting all those values into these columns, specifying what columns there are, and specifying the values in each of them corresponds to like the same position. Otherwise it's like the default order that the columns are defined in. again, like implicitly, we can like omit all the stuff that is null, or we can specify it like we did here. It really depends on what you prefer. Not important. And then we can also insert data based on something else. So here we're inserting into this table, the sales rep table, and then whatever we get from this query. So what we can do is say, for example, for the employees table, we'll use the first one. So we can do insert into and then employees. And then the syntax is, so we do insert into and then the table, and then immediately after we do like a select, and then it will just take all those results and put them into the table. So if we do like select everything from employees, where employee ID equals 100. So this would duplicate this first row, right? And create another Stephen King. But that doesn't work because it's the same primary key. So we can do employee ID, or I don't actually know, do like 200 of employee ID, would that work? No. Okay, so we can try this instead. So employee ID plus, let's say like 500, and then first name, and then last name, and then email, and then phone number, hire date, job ID. Salary. Commission percentage. Manager and department. So this will select basically like the entire row where the employee ID is 100. So I'll just take all the data from Stephen King, add like 500 to their ID just so it's not the same. And then if we insert it, we'll see that if we go to employees again, it's going to be an employee that has the ID of 600, and then like all the data is the same. Yeah, you can go to, at least in PHP MyAdmin, you can go to, is it employees, and then you can try in columns, and you can try in indexes. So in columns, you can see that it's just a type and signed, so nothing is happening here. And then in indexes, also nothing. Foreign keys, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So here it doesn't actually seem like there's any auto incrementation, you can try just checking if you do, like, for example, an easy table like this, and you do like insert into countries, then country name, region, values. Yeah, so here you see that country ID isn't specified, it doesn't have a default value. Normally, if it's auto-incrementing, you don't need to specify whatever the primary key is, so you don't need to explicitly say like country ID something. You just need to put in like the data that is associated with that row, and that's enough. But if it doesn't, you'll get an error like this. I think the auto incrementation thing is only going to be shown to you in like a few weeks after the next module. Next. So we've copied rows from another table, and then it's updating. So an update is basically just take take a table and then take the columns of that table and set it to a certain value, and then usually we restrict it with a condition. If we say like update countries set country name to, Norway. If we just do this, then all the rows have been affected, so that basically edited the entire table, and then all the countries are now named Norway. So always remember to use the where clause when you're updating stuff. So update countries, set country name equal, Sweden, where, and then we can do like where country ID equals 1. So the where clause is the same as in the select, so it basically just restricting what the update query is updating. So this will go through all the rows, it will check does it match like this condition, and then if it does, then it sets whatever you want to set. What is wrong with this country ID? Update country, set country name to Sweden, where country ID equals 1. And then this is incorrect double value. Okay. Oh, is it because the IDs are, strings? Okay. That wasn't very descriptive. Yeah. So by running that query, then we've updated only the stuff that matches. What the fuck? Only the stuff that matches the where clause. So say for example, if we want to up update every country, update countries, set country name equals, I don't know, Italy, where the country code has like an I, for example. So it's not just using equals, it's like all the conditions and stuff that we've learned for select, this also works. So then there was three rows that were affected, and if you go to the countries table here, and you can see that these three were changed to Italy. So it's basically, yeah, just takes the conditions, matches it against every row. If it's true, then updates the values. If not, then doesn't do anything. Updating two columns with a subquery. Yeah, so like the, it's the same with select. We can use like subqueries, so we can we can use like a select statement that returns one single value, and then we can instead of just having hard-coded values, we can actually search for values in the database to like set stuff to. So say for example, set the salary of employee A to be the same as employee B, then we can use a subquery. So yeah, this is foreign keys, and then we come to removing stuff. So removing stuff, again, it's like if you do if you just do like delete from and then employees, I think this is actually nice to you because it gives you like this little like alert box. Be like, hey, you're deleting stuff or from employees. Then you have to confirm. Then it'll like give you extra constraints because you can't update, you can't delete data where a foreign key depends on that data. So say for example, you have a bunch of locations that have a country associated with it. If you delete the country that the location is referring to, then the locations table is just going to be like messed up, right? Like then how are you going to like refer to a country that doesn't exist in the database? And an important thing is always like that all the data in the database is valid. So this will warn you and just be like, hey, you can't delete this because something else depends on it. Say for example, locations refers to countries, right? So if you delete a country, then all the locations, yeah, you can see, what did I do? Like delete, it'll just say that like something depends on this. Then you need to go and like figure out what's wrong. Delete from employees. Okay. And then cannot delete or update the parent row, foreign key constraint fails. And then HR departments constraint, blah, blah, blah. And then you need to go and figure out what that foreign key is. So manager ID references employees. So what you first need to do is delete that foreign key. And then you can delete it. Or because if you see, this is a bit like further ahead. We're not like talking about this stuff until in a few weeks. But if you see the constraints here, you can see that the employee's jobs ID refers to the column job ID, and then it refers to jobs ID. So it has like the foreign keys have like these conditions that on delete it restricts, which basically warns you that like, hey, you can't do this. You can also set it to like cascade, which will like, if you delete a country, you'll delete all the locations associated with that country. And then if anything else depends on the locations, those are going to be deleted, which kind of like just nukes your database basically if you're doing something wrong. You can also just set it to null, but then this fields need to allow for null to be a valid value in that column. So yeah, but again, like if you're doing operations like this, of like deletions, never forget the where. The where works the same way as it does with updates and it does with select, where it will like restrict the data that you're deleting. If you sort of forget the where, then poof, all of your data is gone. It's the same with like updates, where you like you only choose like the employee with ID something something, right? Here if we're deleting stuff, we can add a condition that like just delete the rows that match this condition, right? So if the condition is true, so like employee ID equals something something, then delete just that one row, don't delete all of my data, right? Does that make sense? No. You can only use where commands. You can see if you go to like the documentation of MySQL, you can get like what the full query is. So, for example, for select, you have all of this shit. So distinct row, all of this, order by, limits, and then a bunch of stuff you haven't learned from here. So this is like the definition of what a query of a select query is and how much stuff you can put in it. If you see the update statements. Yeah, you can actually do a limit on this. So setting and then where and then order by and then limit. And then delete. Yeah. Here you can also do that stuff, but we're not gonna like have any exercises that require this. I think we'll just have like simple like where stuff. Yeah. And so you can usually see if you like screw it up or not after like phpMyAdmin like always gives you the message afterwards like a number of rows were affected. It just happened to me in like production databases where you like run a query and then you think you're just like updating one row or two and then you see like, oh, 20,000 rows updated, and you're like, uh-oh, something went wrong. This shouldn't have happened. So yeah, you always get this message. So you can like at least know you screwed up right away. So yeah, same, you can use like subqueries and you can do all that stuff. And then all the all the constraints that have been defined in the table that we're going to see like a bit further ahead, how to define them and what type of constraints the data can have, need to be enforced for you to be able to like delete the data. Same with like updates and same with inserts. Like you can't update a value to be null if the column doesn't allow that value to be null. And yeah. So there's some exercises. These commands are both in the slides, and then there's like a SQL file with the commands too that you can do so you don't like mess up your database. So we just create a clone of the employees table, and then we just copy all the data and put it there, and then we can do like all the stuff in the employees clone table, and then you don't mess up your original employees table. You did it all in the employees, didn't you? It doesn't matter anyways. You can just like go and delete your database and then get the source file again. Like I've been screwing with like this database a bit today too, so doesn't matter. But a few exercises here. So update the commission percentage to 0 of all employees who do not get a commission. So what this exercise basically wants you to do is go and set the values of commission percentage to 0 where commission percentage is null for the employee. And then update the first name to Don and the manager ID to 114 for the employees whose first name is Den. So what you do is update table employees where set the columns to this where first name is Den. And then insert a new row into the employees table. You can just do whatever. And then just try a bunch of different stuff, see what works, see what doesn't. And then delete every employee where a salary is 2,800. Do you want me to do it or can I just not? Like the solutions for these exercises are also in Blackboard. So everything is there. Yeah. Any questions? Any stuff that wasn't clear? No. Everything's great. Cool. Yeah. There was no plan for like the second lecture of this week in the like yearly plan thing, so I needed it to like figure something out, so that's why we're doing exercises tomorrow. So I've just selected like a bunch of exercises, and then like you're smiling now, but you're after you see the exercise, you're gonna be like, oh, now I don't know anything. No, but we'll see. Like at least you actually see like those type of exercises now, as opposed to like when the exam comes. Where like you just do like a bunch of like super simple stuff during the lectures and the labs, and then it's like, oh, I've never seen this before. This is a step up in difficulty. And the exercise tomorrow will count for your grade. No, they won't. I don't think I'm even allowed to do that. And I wouldn't anyway. It's a shitty move. Yeah, that's it. Go to the labs or go home or whatever. See you tomorrow.